I'm John Batchelor. Happy birthday, Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It's his birthday. He admits to being a younger man, older than 70. And at the same time, Bob is the same man we knew when he was 60 and 50. He has an opinion of space engineering and space travel. And we begin with that opinion because the most controversial multi-billionaire in the solar system is up again questioning when for the Starship Super Heavy launch. Bob, have we got a date? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. First of all, as always, once I'm into this fundraising campaigns that I do periodically, I have to thank your listeners for their generosity for sending me subscriptions and donations. I really appreciate it. It keeps food on the table, and it makes me want to keep doing this forever. I don't intend to retire, that's for sure. So, Elon Musk sent out a tweet in which he said that he expects the third test flight of SpaceX's heavy lift Starship Super Heavy rocket to occur in about 3 weeks, early March. The rocket itself has been on the launch pad undergoing final tests. They actually did a major static fire test of both ships more than a month ago, and they've been really ready to launch for more than a month. But as I predicted in December, they would not launch until March, which is now what Elon Musk is confirming, because of red tape in the federal government. Then SpaceX has to do an investigation of its last test launch in November, which had, which not unexpectedly had issues because this is a prototype rocket and they're learning what the problems are by each launch. So things go wrong, but that's exactly what they wanted to happen, to find out what goes wrong so they can fix it. But SpaceX has got to do an investigation and figure out what to fix and fix it. And then they give that investigation to the FAA, who rubber stamps it. But they make believe they do their own investigation by sitting on it for a period of time, making believe they're doing their own investigation. What they're really doing is rewriting the SpaceX report. That's essentially all they're doing. And so SpaceX has been ready since early January, and FAA has not yet approved the launch. Now, Musk is saying he expects an approval by within 3 weeks, and that means he can launch by early March. That would fit my original prediction, but unfortunately, my prediction might have been too optimistic. First of all, we don't know if the FAA is going to issue that launch license. There's no word from them yet. But secondly, there's another issue. There's a lawsuit by activists challenging the right of local officials to close beaches at Boca Chica for these launch tests. And that lawsuit remains active. In fact, an upper court at state court in Texas said that this lawsuit could go forward. So it's very possible that the plaintiffs in that lawsuit, the activists, could go to the court and ask it to issue an injunction to prevent further beach closures while the case is being litigated. And if that happens, that'll block all launches, and it could block them for months. So we'll have to wait and see, John, how that plays out.
Bob, I'm reading a new book about the rigid airships of the 1920s and 1930s. There was a competition between states in Europe, Britain, Germany, France, all looking to the future, thinking that this was air travel for the empire. And the British-built airships, rigid airships, R-100 and R-101. And the vision for the Minister of Air was a round trip to India to cut out all the strife of reaching the crown jewel of India at the time in the empire. Why I mention this is that there was a great hope for the airship, and it all led to disaster in the U.S. and in Britain. Fires, they used hydrogen, not helium.
And also, Hindenburg.
And they were also badly built for what they were trying to do, put airbags inside this rigid frame. And the public was so excited about this working. They all had the vision. But after the accidents, they ended the experiments. They ended the program entirely. And it occurred to me while I was reading this, Bob, that that's a risk we're taking with Musk as well, that a disaster, a private disaster or a disaster with great expectations can lead to the public turning away. I'm just mentioning it now. I'm not predicting.
That's always a risk. That was the kind of thing that space people like me were worried about during the shuttle program. We always feared, that first accident is going to shut the program down like the Hindenburg did to rigid airships. But the opposite happened. Both Columbia and Challenger, the opposite happened. The response of the public was, we can't have these people die in vain. We must move on. So it's hard to predict what will happen. There is one difference between airships, maybe, and rockets. One, rockets have been now launching successfully for many, many, many decades. And in fact, SpaceX now has proven for now almost a decade that reusable first stages work reliably. And so an accident is not going to necessarily be considered to be damning to the whole technology. It'll just be considered, that happens. And SpaceX, too, is not touting the Super Heavy Starship as a ready-to-go rocket. It's an experimental prototype that they're launching, and these are engineering tests. So they make it very clear something is likely to go wrong. So no one's having any expectations that this is tourism. And so I think it's a less of a concern, but I would also say the concern is not unwarranted.
To robots, to satellites, there is the power, and this has to do with the market. The correct pricing of satellites. What's happened, Bob?
Because of SpaceX's launch cadence and lower prices to launch, on top of its Starlink constellation, which is allowing, providing internet to the world essentially at this point, a new study has found that the activity of SpaceX has essentially caused a 77% drop in the price for data transfer by satellites. In other words, if you're going to send the data to and from a satellite, that price has dropped per bit by 77%, more than three quarters. And that's only in the last 5 years. Now, this report also says they expect the price to stabilize over the next 2 or 3 years. I don't believe that. I think that actually the additional competition that's coming in with other launch rockets has lowered the launch costs once again. And on top of that, there are going to be more constellations launched besides Starlink, and that's going to be competition. And so I think there's no limit to how low that price can continue to go. Think of computers. The price in computers continues to drop as competition makes things go better, John. And SpaceX has brought that revolution about.
Starlink, we're speaking on Starlink now, but I'm in Connecticut, not Botswana. Bob, this is a strange story.
Well, it's not entirely strange. It's complicated. But Botswana has officially rejected SpaceX's application to sell Starlink terminals in that country, in Africa. And the Botswana, it appears the reasons are a little unclear, but it does seem to come down to the fact that a lot of individuals have gone to neighboring countries where they've been able to manage to get and buy Starlink kits. That's the terminal on the ground that you'd have. And then they come back to Botswana, which does not yet approve Starlink legally. And they use Starlink's roaming capability within Africa to use the terminal. And I think, and SpaceX has been trying to shut this down because it's breaking the terms of agreement. This is illegal use of the terminal. It's not being paid for properly. And they've been trying to shut this down. But it appears that Botswana rejected SpaceX's application because it hasn't been able to completely clean this up. It also could be that maybe SpaceX isn't paying off government officials, bribing them enough to get this approved. I'm not sure which it is. That's not an unusual thing in Africa, that kind of corruption. But either way, they are blocked. And this ties into our next story, John, because the Botswana story is similar to the Ukraine story. In Ukraine, we talked about this last week, there are people in the Ukraine, in the military, that are claiming that Russians have been using Starlink terminals for communication, their military, in the occupied areas of the Ukraine where battles are going on. Now, SpaceX, Musk has kind of denied this. He says they don't sell any terminals in Russia, and they block use of stolen terminals in Russia once detected. But he was very clear not to mention the occupied territories in the Ukraine that Russia controls. And Russia's been making very slow but tiny gains in territory in the recent months. And it could very well be that during the period of time when they gain ground, they capture terminals. And when they capture terminals, they're then able to maybe use those terminals for military purposes. And SpaceX doesn't quite know that. And this is similar to Botswana. People are maybe getting a hold of terminals, and they might have a chance to use those terminals under a variety of sources. SpaceX can't track. Now, SpaceX says it can. I've had a lot of engineers on my website saying it can. But nonetheless, now we have two stories where there's questions about whether every terminal can be controlled by SpaceX in this manner. It's an interesting problem.
John. Let me reason this through. I have a Starlink. It's on the roof. The beacon comes through the roof, down a hard wire into my studio, and it's linked up. And then it goes wireless from the platform to my Mac. All right. Do they know I'm here?
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I'm not sure I can answer it entirely. SpaceX knows without any question where the terminal is located. GPS signals as well as using the satellites, they know exactly where it is. And they know your address where it is a customer, so they approve your thing, your use. If the terminal was located in an incorrect place that doesn't match the customer, they would be able to know that, and they say they shut those off. And they can. I'm sure they can do that. The problem is there's a lot of varieties here. One, Russia. Let's say Russia takes control of a building that has a Starlink terminal that SpaceX has approved. It doesn't move the terminal, but SpaceX doesn't know control has changed from Ukraine to Russia.
I see.
Russia then has a terminal it can use. In Botswana, a lot of the people apparently are using SpaceX's driving mobile capability with Starlink, which allows you to travel. Well, if you're traveling, that might be a more complicated issue for SpaceX. So I can't answer the question as an engineer, but my impression is that even though I've had engineers who have Starlink and know how to work says it's very difficult to fake this and to cheat this, we're now beginning to see some evidence that some people can do it.
And what I'm hearing, Bob, is there's a black market of building.
Yeah, there's definitely a black market ability here, yes, absolutely.
And security for Starlink might be in doubt in future. We go from Starlink and Russia to Europe, Ariane 6. Bob, we're waiting for Ariane 6 for several years now. How's it doing?
This is a good question. Ariane 6 is about 4 years behind schedule. The European Space Agency had hoped it would be flying as it retired its Ariane 5 rocket over the period of 20 to 23. Well, in 23, it retired its Ariane 5 rocket, but the Ariane 6 is still not flown. So at the moment, Europe basically doesn't have a rocket to get anything into orbit. And that's one of the reasons, actually, they've actually signed contracts with SpaceX, something they really cringe at having to do, but they've had to do it. The first Ariane 6 rocket is now on board a ship on its way to French Guiana. This is the upper stage and the core stage. They're going to be brought down to French Guiana where they will be assembled and put on the launch pad where two sides, solid-fueled boosters, strap-on boosters, will be also attached. And they're targeting now the first launch in the June-July time period. And that's been the schedule now for a few months. We can hope that they'll finally get this rocket off the ground. It will give them a capability of going into space, John, but Europe has a problem. The rocket is very expensive, so it's not going to get a lot of business. It gives them an option to get into space, but they really already know they've got to replace it with something that's cheaper, that's competitive with SpaceX.
I mentioned a detail. Venezuela has deployed military forces along the border between Guyana and Venezuela. Brazil has deployed military forces along the border between Brazil, Guyana, and Venezuela. There is the distinct possibility of a military confrontation in British Guiana, which is up the road from French Guiana. However, the area in general is generally unpopulated except along the coast. I wonder if it's going to interrupt or in some way mitigate the intention of the European Space Agency to operate in the area if that falls into warfare.
John, you ask a really good question, and none of us have an answer at the moment, but one of those unknowns.
It just came up. Brazil,
yeah.
The deployment for Brazil, it was last week. The deployment for Venezuela is this week, and there's a British warship off the shore of Guyana to guarantee Guyana's security. Given that Guyana is now the possessor of, I think, about 11 billion barrels of light sweet crude offshore. So, I mentioned, you can't escape politics, even if you try for space. All right, ULA, it's for sale. Who's buying?
ULA is the originally a joint partnership between the launch division of Boeing and the launch division of Lockheed Martin. It was formed at the beginning of this century by orders of the U.S. military. Basically the company has not been very successful at competing with SpaceX, though their CEO, Tory Bruno, has tried really valiantly to try to make this a competitive company. It was pretty much rumored that once they got their Vulcan rocket launched successfully, the company was going to be for sale. And that still appears to be the case. This article I linked to on Behind the Black interviewed bankers on the perspective of the sale. And it appears there are now only two companies that are pushing for this, though dark horses could arrive. One of them is a company called Cerberus, which is not a rocket company, not a space company per se, but it's a big company, and so therefore maybe it wants to get into the launch market, and buy ULA is a quick way to do that. The other company is Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos' company, which has been claiming it's a space rocket company now for more than 20 years, but has yet to put anything into orbit. It's New Glenn Rocket. They're finally doing prototype tests on the launch pad, and they hopefully will assemble the rocket and launch it later this year. But they have not launched anything. And there's rumors that they are one of the two people bidding for it. They get it. They suddenly have a rocket company, finally, with an operational rocket, something they didn't build, unable to build. So that's the story. We'll have to wait and see what will happen, if anything. It is interesting that this report talks about how the price for ULA dropped considerably in the last few years, and it really should have been sold 2 or 3 years ago. But it couldn't sell until Vulcan launched. Right. And the reason Vulcan didn't launch was because of Blue Origin. So some people have even said, it's a really good technique for Jeff Bezos. Force ULA's price to go down and then buy it by delaying the engine to ULA. That's really Machiavellian's logic, but it could be.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.